Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining our conversation today. We hope you are all doing well. We hope that you are inviting us along your walk, maybe driving your kids to school. As always, we imagine being with you wherever you're at and are always grateful for you tuning in and listening. Today, we are talking about a common stuck place that a lot of us get. Totally going to include myself into this conversation because I remember being here in this space for oh so long. More specifically, the stuck place that we can get in when we, and I'm saying we as the betrayed partner, believe or think, hope that if our partner would just, and then just fill in the blank there, whatever that looks like for you, if he would just stop looking at porn, if he would just go get help, if, right, well, there are so many. I was talking to Alana before, and the visual that came to my mind was this umbrella, and you're standing underneath this umbrella of if he would just, and you're just holding on so tightly to this idea that if they would just do this thing, then everything would be better and you would feel better. Maybe things would work out and you wouldn't feel so much pain, all the things. And Alana was talking about, and I'll let you say this, Alana, you were listening to Tony Overbay. He said something that was pretty cool. I loved how he phrased that. Will you share that? That kind of ignited our conversation today. I was like, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Tony Overbay, he has a couple of podcasts, but this one was Waking Up the Narcissist or Waking Up to Narcissism. Mm-hmm. And he said in it, you can use things to grow or throw. And he also said we can use self-improvement to avoid personal responsibility, which maybe will be a whole different episode. But the grow or throw, I was like, ooh, that's really good. Because I see that with both partners. So we can take something we hear and we learn, like you're sitting here, you're listening to a podcast, you're learning. If we have a growth mindset, then when we are listening for something, we are internalizing it for ourselves and we're looking at and going, okay, how does this apply to me? What do I need to look at here? What do I need to recognize in myself? How do I need to work through this? But when we take something instead of that growth, we take it to throw. For my betrayed partners, it can look like I'm going to throw it over to his side and be like, hey, you need to listen to this. Hey, if you could do this. Hey, did you hear the way Amy said this? This really resonates with that secret hope that he'll change or she'll change. And so when we're throwing it over to their side, we are no longer looking at our own stuff. We are trying to change another adult. I see this with my partners who have betrayed, where they can show up with a growth mindset. I want to understand, why have I done what I've done? Or why am I doing what I'm doing? How can I grow and move past this? That's that growth mindset. Versus the throw could be, I'm going to check these boxes and show her how well I'm doing. Or they throw in that they weaponize the new recovery tools that they're learning, or they weaponize, look at all the work I'm doing. Why aren't you giving me credit for it? That would be another form of throwing. So I see both partners use this, and it moves us away. That throwing moves us away from that personal growth and accountability.
Yeah, it's such a, again, I love those little short quips that just resonate and you can get those stuck in your head. And it's a really good reminder. When you were talking, this came to my mind. So I want to know what you think about this, but how I'm relating to this right now, personally, after a decade later, after all of my stuff, is how this grow or throw is such a beautiful way to always check in with, do I have a growth mindset? Like what you were saying. Because ultimately on our podcast, Alana, I think I can speak for you. Like that's what we want everyone listening to develop for themselves. And here's some nuggets that we're learning along the way. And we want to help you have that growth mindset, not to throw at your partner or even throw at yourself, right? I'm an idiot. I should have known better. What's wrong with me? Like, we can weaponize this stuff against ourselves, which I see all the time as well. But it reminded me when I'm working with my therapist and we pull some trauma out, right? Early childhood trauma or whatever, pull these wounds out. She said to me the other day, she's like, I just want to point out to you, Amy, that you no longer, like when you process this injury and you are a wound, you no longer stay in that injured victim blame space. You turn it to, okay, I see it. Wow, that hurt. And now I'm seeing how I pass that along and I want to repair and I want to grow and work on not doing that anymore. She goes, you do that so fast now. Sorry, I'm snapping. That probably sounds weird in the audio. But you do that so fast now where she's like, I've been with you for years. You would stay in that space for weeks, if not months. And we would have to keep processing and have to keep processing to pull you out of that. And she was just essentially making the point, like your growth mindset has moved and shifted so much differently than it used to when I first started working with her. That's what came to my mind when you were talking. I still have injuries. I still have wounds. Growth mindset doesn't mean I don't have work to do, that we don't have work to do as humans. It's what do we do with the injury or the wound that we are now aware of?
That is so good. At first, I thought you were going to say that you would look at your trauma from your past and then quickly move on to something else and bypass your own experience. But then once you went a little bit further, I was like, oh no, you move through each one, but you just keep moving through them. And I really love that because I think there are some who do bypass their own experience.
For sure.
Because it's painful. And so if they can hurry and push that accountability onto somebody else. And as betrayed partners, we have to be really careful of this because it's easy to say, yeah, I am broken because of your choices, or I am hurt because you have done this, or I was fine before and now I'm this, right? Yeah. So it's really easy to deflect all of that onto somebody else. And while you are not responsible for their choices, you still have the responsibility of your healing. So I just really appreciate your example where you were stuck in it for so long and now you are able. And this is what continual work can do.
Is years, people, years, decades.
If you know how to move through it. And in therapy, there's a concept of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. If you have a fixed mindset, it's like a sentence with a period. That it's, this is the way it is, period, stop. And there's no growth in that. Mm-mm. When you have a growth mindset, you are open to the dot, 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 what comes next. And we as humans are always learning and developing and growing. And this is a really immature mindset or idea, is when we're little kids, you look at adults and you're like, adults have it all figured out. They've got it. If I just become an adult and then you get in your 20s and you're like, I don't have it figured out. Then you get in your 30s and you're like, okay, well, I have some stuff figured out, but there's a whole lot I don't know. Then you get in your 40s and then you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know what I didn't know. What do I still not know? And I don't know because I'm not in my 50s yet. But this idea of I just get to this place of I am who I am. It is what it is. That's that same mindset from childhood.
That's fixed.
Yeah, that's a fixed mindset. And it's that mindset from childhood of that you just become an adult and then that's where you stay.
Mm-hmm. It's that arrival. And I will say that to my clients all the time. There is no arrival because we'll use these tools or these things that we're learning or that I'm teaching in my groups. And it's, oh, if I just learn that thing, and I'll even hear, tell me a tool to get through this so that I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing as the standing under the umbrella of, if he just this, then I will arrive at some place where I don't have to. And usually it's the negative emotion that we're trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. But there is no arrival. And I hated that.
I still hate that.
I know.
I love arrival.
But I don't hate it anymore for me personally, just because I remember her saying at one time, and I took a huge, it was one of those, Alana, you'll know what I'm talking about, like the system reset, that kind of a, and I did one of those. I went and just, it, my whole system just reset with this idea. And I remember in that moment thinking, oh, I have time. And you know me very much like, I'm always moving, grooving, let's do the next thing. So this was so impactful for me to absorb this concept of there's no arrival because we have time to figure it out. And I don't have to hustle my righteousness, my worth, my value, my enoughness. I can stop hustling, moving so fast to figure this out. What? Oh, and it just, I'll never forget that. Reset it in my body. I have to remind myself over and over and over. But when I remind myself, it's just such a beautiful acceptance of, oh, I can keep practicing this. I can keep trying this on over and over. That is enough. Where we get sidetracked or fooled is thinking that if that person just stops looking at porn, then the truth is, as long as you're under this umbrella of if they would, there will always be something. There will always be a if they would just. That in of itself, if you just get that visual of you standing there, you're holding this umbrella, you're standing underneath and all that's coming down is that if he would just, well, now if he would just, well, okay, he's not doing that, but now if he would just this. Number one, that's very disempowering. You are in a victim or blaming state. Not a acceptance state, and you are disconnected from you. And going back to what you're saying, Alana, we're throwing things. And how much does that take you out of your empowerment, out of your agency, out of your ability to actually choose?
Yes to everything you just said. And here's the level of self-deceit that we can do, because I'm really good at this, the self-deceit. So I would have heard everything that you just said. I would have been in a mindset of no. Like, I know myself and I am really connected to myself. And because I'm connected to myself, I know what he needs to do so I can be okay. I'm okay in every other way, but our relationship isn't okay because he's doing these things. So sorry, Amy, I have all the empowerment I need. I just know what he needs to do to show up to his side of the street.
Gosh, our brains are so awesome and tricky.
Yeah. And so with that said, nothing is black and white. It's so nuanced because there is reality of in a relationship, both people do have to bring things to the table.
Yep.
And so that is accurate. And I did know what was not being brought to the table. That was still accurate. Where I would get lost is that I would then be sitting there twiddling my thumbs, waiting for him to do his part. And me and my own work would become halted, or I would become stuck because I was so busy waiting for him. Now, I did do a lot of work in other areas, but relationally, I was still so much of, okay, but I just need him too. And I'm going to give an example of a fake client, but it's like, a lot of my clients combined into one. But let's say you have somebody who gets in a relationship and they find out that their significant other has been hiding sexual behaviors. They're devastated. They think, okay, now that it is out, it's good. They're never going to act out again. But then all of a sudden, after a few months of being okay in quotations, because honestly, they were just too scared to act out. Once they got a little more comfortable, they acted out again. They come out and they say, I'm so sorry. I did this again. You were so hurt. A few weeks later, happens again. And so your brain goes, oh my goodness, if they would just not do this, I wouldn't be in pain. Mm-hmm. And you have some people who struggle for years before they get in control of their sexual sobriety. And so let's just say this pattern's been going on continuously or on and off for a few years. And then you're spending this whole time of like, well, if they would just stop, if they would just stop, if they would just stop. And your brain just holds on to that. And also it goes, okay, what do we need to do to fix this? Okay, I'm going to do this and this and this, and they need to do this and this, right? Because we have to get rid of the problem. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You get rid of the problem. They finally get that sense of sobriety. And then you notice, hold on, we're actually not connecting in the way that I thought we would be connecting. Because every time I talk about hard things, they emotionally are gone. That's the problem. If he would just learn how to empathize with my pain and hear my heart, then we would be fine. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And so you fight for this in therapy to figure that out. And it's hard work. And then you finally get to that place where they are giving you continuous empathy and you're like, thank you. But then you notice that is really nice to have the connection, but at home, I am doing everything. Yeah, they have a job, but I have a job too. And so I am carrying like 80% of our household responsibilities. That's not fair. If they would just start showing up as a partner a little bit more at home, things would be better. And you see how it can move from thing to thing to thing, because we are constantly looking at them and all the things they need to do so that we can be okay. And I'm not saying each of those things aren't legitimate concerns. It's power that you give them on your emotional well-being for what they are or are not doing.
I love that you slowed that down with tangible examples of how that would look. And you're right. Each and every one of those are legit. Yeah, you stop looking at porn, then there is some level you do feel better. But if you're standing under that umbrella and looking for the next thing, you will find the next thing. And I think where it gets what you're saying, Alana, is why it's not so black and white and so totally nuanced is that, and please correct me if I'm wrong or add to this, but I feel like there's in recovery as a betrayed addict, and then relationally, we're constantly needing this growth mindset individually to be able to navigate the nuances of the if he would just, to be able to determine, is this really something that needs to significantly change as part of this new relationship that we're creating together, this new couple bubble? Because it's got to be new. It's got to be different. I don't want to fall into old patterns. Or is this yet another way, like we were saying earlier, for me to avoid my own growth mindset because I am holding the umbrella and just focusing hypervigilantly on if he would just. I think this is why you cannot do this alone. This is why you need professional help to guide you through this, because it is such a balance. And ultimately, my own check-in always is, okay, let me bring it back to my power. Let me notice my thoughts, my feelings, my actions, and sit with that for a minute, see the reality. What is the reality of the situation, of the relationship? And if we are talking, because a lot of our listeners, Alana, are trying to work out the relationship, right? They're trying to make this work. So if you are in the space where you are maybe in pillar three, reintegrating into the relationship, and you're trying to make it work, then I want to validate there will be the if you would just that are going to come up as, you know what, actually, I'm not okay with doing 80% of the household chores anymore. In this new relationship, I want more of a partner. That's okay to point out. In fact, please make the request. That's what we do when we're leaning in. We're moving from boundaries back to request. And then you watch, again, the reality. How are they showing up? How are they not? And this is where you got to go back to your power and control and not hyper focus on what you're wanting them to do. And that's all you're watching. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, it did. And I'm going to add to it because that's what I was thinking about is even when you have boundaries and a boundary starts with a request, but then it's, if the people around me don't honor that request, what am I going to do for me? Mm-hmm. And that allows you that internal locus of control versus mm-hmm. external. Because when it's external, then somebody else has your power. Yeah. And so growth mindset being a healthy individual is having that internal locus of control. Absolutely, external things will impact us, but our center of control is internal. It's what are we going to choose to do?
Yeah. Okay. Silly. Well, I shouldn't preface it with silly example. It was a very real example, but I'm going to use another example from my own life. Maybe hopefully this makes it a little bit more tangible. You were talking about household chores and the battle of household chores right now in the house. Okay. So garbage, that's something that I have requested that I have my partner do. Please take out the trash. Well, I was in the kitchen. I was cooking. I was making things. I loaded up the trash. I was filling it up because I was putting a bunch of stuff in there, right? He's not even in the kitchen, but the garbage is filling up and it's now full. And I noticed that I was feeling frustrated because I was like, he should just come in here and look at the trash. He knows I'm in here. But I'm being very vulnerable. This is seriously what my brain was doing. Like, he should know. And he actually did walk over and throw something away. And why didn't you see that the trash was full and just take it out? This is your job. This is what we agreed on. This is what you said you would take care of. Not doing it. So what do? I yank up the straps and I open it and I pull it. And I'm making a point to make it loud as I'm taking the trash because he's in the living room. And what am I really wanting? I'm wanting him to hear me and see me do his job. And then come in and interrupt, say, oh, I got it. I got it, babe. I'll take it. I'll take the trash out.
Which even if he did that, you would still be just as pissed. I just put that out there. At least I would. Like, I had to show you that it had to be done.
Okay.
And you know, winning.
Called me out because you know me so well. That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
I was walking down the hall out to the front door with the garbage. She's like, oh, babe, I got that. And like, nope, got it. So I am on my way out and I go out and I'm walking to the trash can around the side of the house and on my walk and I just start laughing and I'm like, oh my gosh, Amy, I completely, number one, bypassed the request. I didn't even give him an opportunity to take the trash out. And this is where I think sometimes we get stuck, is not even making the request. So we're holding on to this umbrella of if he would just, and I just want to put it out there, make the request and ask. And I'm telling this for the couples that are reintegrating, okay? We're in phase three here. We're reintegrating back into the relationship and you're trying to move forward and you're trying to have this growth mindset. Please make requests. Try them on. Try them out. Let's see what happens. We want to give the other partner an opportunity because I showed up very much in my old betrayed self. That was my past self that showed up in that moment right there. A lot of assumptions, a lot of victim blaming, a lot of catabolic energy. I didn't even give him the opportunity to meet the request because I didn't even make it. So I think sometimes too in this, if he would just, we are doing this in our head.
Okay, but Amy, every woman who is listening to this, not every woman, but a lot of them is going to go, but I've asked him a million times. And Amy, I know you have mentioned it, this desire with your husband more than once. What would you say to the women who go, I can't keep asking, like I keep telling him, I keep making the request. What would you say to those people?
That's what you were saying before. That's the boundary, right? If they don't, then I will. But I'm speaking to those that are not even making the request verbally and that they're still standing under the umbrella going, but if he would just. And again, I know there's so many nuances to this because there's safety and all da-da-da-da. That's why I was saying, for those of you who are reintegrating back into the relationship and you're trying to create a new relationship, you've got to move out of the if he would just, because you will get stuck under that umbrella. Because like you were saying, Alana, there will always be something. There will always be something. So it's this practice of putting that down and making the request and allowing the relationship to fumble around. I love the road to recovery and that up and down stock market. We want the stock market. We want to be the up and the down, to be clunky with this. And part of that's making requests. Part of that is being vulnerable, leaning back in and saying, here's what I need from you. And them going, ooh, I don't know. Oh, gosh. Okay. Sorry, I didn't show up the way, but I'm going to. Okay. That's the up and the down. And we need to move through that if we want to actually have the relationship that I think all of you listening want. But if you stay stuck in the if he would just, and you're disempowered, or if he would just, and it's still in your head and you're not explaining it or voicing it, you're going to be hanging out under that umbrella for quite a long time.
You could stay there forever.
Ever.
You could.
It's so easy to get back in. That's why I was sharing that experience. I pulled that umbrella and I was like, if he would just look over here and notice that I'm putting things in the trash and he would just take it out.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to sound like the phrase, if he would just. It could also sound like, I need him to. Why won't he? So if the words, if he would just, don't exactly resonate, just notice if you have a different phrase, because your brain might be like, oh, I don't use that phrase, so I'm good. So just notice. Amy and I, before we hit record, we were talking about some of the things that I've been navigating. And we were talking about this topic. And Amy, very sweetly, was like, yeah, you're doing so good. You're really going into this empowered place and doing these different actions. And you've moved out of this. And I was like, okay, let's be real. My brain still does the, okay, but if they would just do this. If they would just not do this, my brain still goes there. But the difference is I recognize where my brain goes, and then I choose to take my power back. And I'm not perfect with it. Still have to work on it. I'm still very human. But that, notice where my brain wants to go, and then I get to choose what actions I take. And that's where I move out of that external locus of control back into the internal, and then making choices for me. And that's how I'm able to move forward.
And you'll have these moments. Like I said, I'm in a completely different relationship and I'm still noticing myself show up this way.
And wait, a new relationship doesn't magically fix everything, Amy?
No. Because to your point, it is still about you and your own growth mindset, and there is no arrival, and we are always growing and always learning. And whether it's this relationship or another one, life, people, situations, everything around us. And I wish I was smart enough to quote a philosopher, because I know there's really great quotes around this, but everything around us is an opportunity for us to learn and to grow if we choose it. I could have walked out and dumped the trash and walked right back in and held on to that mindset that he should have known. But I had that awareness and I was like, oh, wait a second. And then I could step in and choose something different. And we all have that opportunity, every single one of us. And you're going to have those opportunities in every situation and circumstance of life, single, divorced, together. Whatever life is providing opposition for you to choose. And it's why I say it all the time to especially my divorce ladies, you are the chooser. You do get to choose and create the life that you want, because you can. You have the agency that allows you to do that. And when we realize, oh, I actually was not the chooser, I am waiting for someone else to make me feel, or if they would, then I could. That is very much a disempowering state of being. And I think just being aware of that is enough. And then deciding, okay, what do I now want to do with that, now that I just saw that I'm handing my power over with that statement? And to your point, whether it's if he would just, or if only they were still handing over someone else's power. And I think that there's a beautiful balance and dance when we're trying to work on the relationship. That stock market again is coming to my mind, that we can figure this out. We can figure out how to give ourselves what we need, but also our partners. But it takes two in a relationship. It takes two people to be invested in their own growth mindset.
Yeah. This isn't a philosopher at all, but the little catchphrase that you can go through it or grow through it. And I've gone through a lot of things in my life. And if I have to go through it anyway, I really want to grow.
Yeah. So
if you're sitting here listening to this podcast at some level, probably a pretty big level, is you already have a growth mindset. And so notice that, give yourself credit for that growth mindset, and then notice what you need to take from this. And notice where you might be giving away your power and where you want to reclaim that for yourself. And that's something I have to remind myself regularly, because it is so much easier to put it on other people. It is so much more comfortable. We look at our own stuff, we take that accountability, and that's really where we grow and heal. So with all of that being said, I feel like this maybe is a little bit harder of an episode because it is so much of our own responsibility. So if it was hard, be really gentle with yourself. But as always, thanks for hanging out with Amy and I, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.